Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're worthy of all our praise tonight. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Jesus, our great King, our great King. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Hebrews 13 and 15, by him, therefore, or because of him, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise that is fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he's so worthy. You can be seated tonight for just a time here. And before we get in the word, I want to say I feel very honored to be invited to come and speak behind this sacred desk tonight and give honor to your pastor and his wife and family. We have always enjoyed being around Brother and Sister Cowan, what little we've been able to fellowship them. You're very blessed. We honor your pastor tonight, and you're blessed to have a great couple here in this place of Augusta, our first time to be here, but I like this city. This is a neat little town, little city, and a great place for revival and souls to be won for the Lord. We invited the lady at the motel today to come be here tonight in church, and I do it everywhere I go. I invite folks to church. I don't say come to church. I say come worship with us.
Sure.
We're not trying to make a member just by number. We want somebody to be a true worshiper.
Right.
God will take care of all the rest. They'll come and worship. Hallelujah. But wow, what a lovely congregation I have the honor to preach to tonight and share the word of the Lord. And we're going to do our very best. We've prayed and sought the Lord. I feel like I've got good direction from God tonight. And I want to as the Bible says, let's just enjoy the word of the Lord together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. It's manna. It's spiritual bread. John chapter 6, Jesus said that he is the living bread. It comes from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Life's in the word. John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's life.
Yes.
He's life. And he's abundant life. This is a wonderful hour, a wonderful day to serve the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful day to be a Christian,
amen,
to be called a Christian, be associated, praise God, with the truth. Hallelujah. Well, we appreciate the wonderful, nice accommodations tonight, the motel or hotel and the gift bag that was there, brother. My, everything is just first class. Praise God. Y'all have got good leadership here, and it makes you feel real welcome. Very welcome to the house of the Lord, and I'm glad my wife could be with me this time, and most of the time she does travel with me, but not always, but I'm glad she can be here with us tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's about a little 500 miles to our home, and where it's worth every mile to go see a friend. It's never too far to go see a friend. Amen. But we feel honored to be here tonight so much, and we're 42 years into pastoring at home. And I'm just still trying to preach. Praise the Lord. I enjoy the word.
Yes.
I love the word of the Lord. Hide it in your heart. Praise God. It'll prevent you from sin. It's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Nothing more beautiful than the word. It's our roadmap. It tells us the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. We live in a wonderful hour to be a light. A lady was teaching some children at school, and she was talking to one of the students, and she asked him, is the earth round or is it flat? And he studied a little while, and he said, no, ma'am, neither one. Well, she said, well, what is it then? He said, well, my daddy said it's crooked. So the Bible said, among whom you shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
Right.
But light's greater than darkness. Wherever light is, darkness has to flee.
Yes, yes,
glory.
Yes.
It's greater than darkness.
Yes.
Amen. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, John said.
Amen.
It couldn't prevent it. Praise the Lord. So it's so good to be here tonight. We're going to be reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll, there's a lot in this chapter, but we'll start in verse 9. The writer talks about going on to perfection and growing and how important it is to stay with the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 6, he talked about if they fall away to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing they've crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. There's a point in life that some people willingly go there. And I don't know where that point is where God, they go beyond rescue. The Bible said that Esau sought it careful with tears, found no place of repentance. He couldn't get back his birthright. But he goes on to say here in verse 9, Beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, things that accompany salvation, all the wonderful benefits that come along with serving God. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's this ongoing process. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to thank God for his word tonight. Lord, we love you for your word. Right on the table of our heart, God. Give us the ear to hear. Oh, Lord, a heart to receive and a mind to understand tonight the wonderful word of the Lord. Let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. In your name, Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you for honoring the reading of the word tonight. And be seated. We're going to look at the word of the Lord with a thought in mind tonight. And I was going to just call it God's not unrighteous to forget, but let me just say it this way. Our God remembers. And we're going to look at this subject. It's a wonderful Bible study to go through the word of the Lord and to look at the word remembered or in remembrance. It's used many, many times in the word of the Lord. And God has such a detailed memory. Hallelujah. He don't miss anything. He don't miss a thing. Jesus said, every idle word that's spoken shall be brought into judgment.
Right.
He's a very detailed God.
Yes.
He knows it all.
Yes.
The Bible said he knows our thoughts afar off. Hallelujah. He knows our down sitting and our uprising.
Uh-huh.
He knows our thoughts afar off.
Right.
What a great God we serve tonight.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how I'd even create a blade of grass, but our God did.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And it's a marvelous thing that amen, a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I can't explain all that. But our God's a great God tonight. The heavens declare his handiwork. The work of his hands. You don't have to look far at all to see God and his power displayed tonight. The millions and billions of stars and the Milky Way and the our universe tonight. How big and how great is our God. I hope I can magnify him in your thought, in your mind tonight with this word. We're going to go back to the book of beginnings. The book of Genesis chapter 8, and pick up a story here that is so profound. The book of Genesis is the, let me say, outline, I suppose, for the rest of the Bible. Everything is covered here that we need.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It deals with people, humanity, and how great God is, how merciful God is. This was a time in the history of the earth where it's a sad time. In the fact that God tells us that man's thoughts were evil continually, and he repented him that he'd even made man. And I thought, oh my, what is the earth full of violence? And man had just made God sorry that he had even created him. And the Bible said he intended to destroy man and creation. But there's a beautiful verse here in the book of Genesis chapter 7 and talks about Noah. And how that he found grace in the eyes of God. And then chapter 8, we're going to pick up the story here. A man that the Bible says he walked with God. Hallelujah. That Noah, this is the testimony of Noah, that he walked with God. And Noah did according unto that the Lord, all the Lord had commanded him. Praise the Lord. And so verse 9 of chapter 6, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations and walked with God. The Bible said he found grace in the eyes of God of all humanity. Hallelujah. And how great is that grace tonight that God has to offer us? Oh my. How do you describe that kind of grace tonight? A God that loves us. So we're going to pick up this story here in chapter 8, verse 1. God remembered. The Bible said, and God remembered. God remembered. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Down verse 3, the waters returned from off the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters were abated, about 5 months. Now, Noah was 120 years in this building project. And the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. It had never rained like this before. This is something brand new to come upon the earth. And Noah believed God and obeyed God, he and his family. And he's trying to tell people it's going to rain. God's going to bring destruction upon the earth. But there's a means of safety. There's a way out. 1 Peter 2 talked about in the days of Noah and the long-suffering of God when God waited and he tried to reach for man. The Bible says that man rejected that plan, that ark that God offered them, and only 8 souls were saved by water. The same thing that destroyed also became a means of saving. Praise God, Noah's family. And so here it is again. He's on this ark. God has shut the door. The 7 of the clean have come in. The 2 of the unclean. He's got all these animals there. They've been in there for a long time. 40 days and nights. It rained. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And the earth began to be covered with water. And here's Noah. He had no chart. He had no compass. He had no rudder. He had no sail. There was no place. There was no land left after everything was covered with water. There was no landmark. There was no place he could stop or anchor. This was a terrible time of darkness and heavy rain. And only wind they had in the ark. If he looked out, all he could see was the deluge of rain. He was in a place where really, it could have been a dark, dreary place for months, almost about a year, to spend time in this ark. I don't know how we would react, but I'm sure Noah had a heart when he thought about relatives and people and that were around him in his day, kin to him, and people that would not come in the ark, they rejected it. God's means of salvation. And so here he is in this ark, no place to cast anchor at all, not knowing the future, not knowing what's going to happen to this ark, what's going to happen to us. God has spared us, and thank God for that, but months and months is a long time. I've been been further than 100 miles out, but just 100 miles out in the ocean sometime, and you can't see land. It gives you a different feeling because there's no demarcation or there's no place that you feel like you could step on that would be solid. It sure ain't where you're at, but amen. It's a different feeling being out there. And I'm just trying to paint you a little picture about Noah, how he must have felt in that ark. Might have heard some scratching on the door. Might have heard some people trying to let me in, Noah. Open up somehow. Give us another chance. And after a while, everybody, the voices became quiet. Everything was quiet. The ark was just floating on the water. And so the Bible said, but God remembered Noah. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God remembered Noah. Just to oppose something that was so divine and so offered to mankind. There's an ark. There's an ark. You can get in it. You can be saved. Oh, yes. Amen. This stamp of approval to oppose God. Everybody but Noah and his family. 8 souls. Everybody else said no. I hope tonight you've got your mind made up. Your foot's on the rock. Oh, yes. Praise God. You intend to make it. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7 that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him to a man that dug deep and built his house upon a rock because the winds, the rain, and the floods came against it. And it's a tough hour sometime going through life. We're kind of like Noah, but friend, when Noah could depend on nobody else, he could depend on God. And I want to get you the message that tonight you can depend on God. Praise God. There's one thing to have faith in God, but you've got to trust God's timing. Months have passed by. Noah's been here a long time. He don't know what the future holds, but friend, he can depend on God. Listen, God's got a plan. He's the beginning and he's the ending. You can believe, you can trust, you can walk with God like Noah, and the end is going to be a great, great day. Praise God. When we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad our plan of salvation works tonight. I'm glad our plan of salvation that will take us through. Our plan of salvation has a good ending. Our plan of salvation, when you obey it tonight, praise God, hallelujah, it's going to give us victory to the very end. 1 John 5 and 7, the Bible said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that believeth that Jesus, amen, or that is a victor overcomer? It's he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I have no doubt tonight I'm building my life on the sayings of Jesus. I'm not building on the sand tonight. The water, the floods, the rain will wash it all away. But hey, we got something we can stand on tonight. You can depend on God. The sun came up this morning and it's setting this evening. And it's been doing it all the days of my life. Praise God. And so God is just that sure tonight. Hallelujah. You can trust Him. You can believe in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to worry about God doing His part. Amen. Or coming through with what He said He would do. And so here's Abraham again. Pardon me tonight. Let me get over here just a little further. Thank you, Jesus. Here's Abraham again. I'm sorry, Noah again. And in this predicament, in this situation. But I'm glad he had grace that God gave him. And that grace, praise God, brought him right on through. He just depended on God. This is your boat. This is your water. Your earth. If you go back to Genesis 1, the Bible said that the waters, God moved upon the face of the waters. Everything must have been, and he separated the land from the water in the beginning. So God's got complete control tonight. And God still has complete control. The Bible says the earth and the fullness of is the Lord's. It's all His. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So this ocean liner of a boat that he's on, it was huge. What I read, somewhere around 475 feet long, maybe. I don't know exact measurements, just it's in cubits, but that's a pretty good sized boat. Yes. Amen. And hallelujah. No compass, no chart, no rudder. No, he just. But I'm glad Romans 8:14 tells us, for they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. There's a leadership of the Holy Ghost still in this world tonight. Hallelujah. He'll direct your steps every day. He'll guide your life every day. I go before my sheep, John 10. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. Hallelujah. And when times get very, very tough, Psalms 23:5, the Bible said, for the Lord prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. God's got something good to eat every day. Give us this day our daily bread. That's why I love the Word and the study of the Word. I find goodness in it every time I read it. Praise the Lord. It got so tough in 1947 in Israel that they were without hardly anything to eat. And this is true history of Israel and the war of independence. And so they came to Mr. David Ben-Gurion and said, what are we going to do? We're down to one slice of bread, a little bit of marmalade, and that's it. That's all we got to eat. And so he said, well, have the family come in and sit at the table. And seat everybody and set the plates out, set the table just like you're going to eat. And he said, go through the motions of eating.
All right.
In other words, it's a pretending that you're eating, even though there's nothing there. It rallied those people. It rallied those people to fight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I find it still true. In the presence of mine enemies, thou preparest a table before me. Praise God. Hey, friend, listen, this walk of faith, it's real. Amen. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. Without faith, you can't please Him. But I'm glad He's still alive and well in our world today. I'm just saying you can trust God. You can depend on God. You don't have to worry about God. Amen. He's got everything in His control today. Jesus said it. I have all power in heaven and in earth. Praise God. Oh, here's Noah trusting Him this long time. So he could depend on God. Praise God. And I tell you, the good thing about God, He can restore that which is broken. He can restore that which is destroyed. Amen. He's a God of new beginnings. Hallelujah. All the earth depended on this family to restore and replenish. That's what God told them. Multiply, replenish the earth. Hallelujah. We can trace our, I guess we're all kin folks. Amen. We trace it all back to Noah. His folks, his children. Praise God. Somewhere down the line. Amen. They tell me everybody's got a twin. I don't know. I hadn't found mine yet. But anyway, hallelujah. God, this is His world. And we're His people. Praise God. And He's the head of the body of the church. And to him be glory in the church, the Bible said, Ephesians 3:21. World, or throughout all ages, world without end. Praise God. He is working on presenting himself a bride. He brought Noah through by the water. He's brought us through by the water. We that have been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The same like figure. Peter said, doth also save us now. Glory. He's bringing us through. We're going to make it. We're going to make it, church. We're going to be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we are. Praise God. We have a God who remembers again and again and again and again. Genesis 19 and 29, the Bible tells us a history of another man, Abraham, or called Abram at this time. And the scripture says in this verse, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. God knew the heart of Abraham. He knew the tenderness in his heart for Lot. They had split directions, and Lot chose the well-watered plains and what looked like a, well, perfect place to go. But he cast his tent the wrong direction. The Bible just said he pitched his tent. And the way your feet and nose is facing, usually the way you, that's the way you go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so here he sets his sights on that city and of the cities of the plains. Five of those cities there later were destroyed. But God remembered Abraham and he said, I'm not going to destroy Lot and his nephew and family when I overthrow these cities. And you know the story how that Abraham had such a heart for people. He had such a desire to reach somebody and to witness to somebody for the Lord and let them know how good it was to serve God. He said, Lord, if you would just find 50 in the city, would you spare it? Finally, God said, yes, I will. He got down to 20, 45, and then 40, and 30, and 20, and then 10. If I can find 10 righteous people in the city, would you spare the city? And God's grace and mercy said, yes. But he couldn't find 10. That's sad. Hallelujah. Lot had grown so worldly. His family had grown worldly. He sat in the gate. But the Bible said he was there when the angels came to visit his house. And he had gotten so worldly that even the people of the city, when they tried to attack the angels, or the one of the angels there that come to visit Lot, the Bible said Lot offered his daughters for a night of revelry with those people. How could a man have that kind of heart? But friend, you get close to this world and get connected to this world. The Bible said all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It begins to work on us, and he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It began to draw Lot away, but Abraham was an intercessor. Yeah. Why are you talking about this, Brother Matt? Because I believe that Abraham, as the Bible said, that God remembered Abraham. Peter said Lot was a just man, a righteous man. His righteous soul was vexed day by day with their unlawful deeds, but God was not so much considering Lot as he was Abraham. All right. Let me encourage you tonight, church. You are the key factor. Amen. And your family tonight. And praying for your family that's lost. And reaching for people that's lost. Paul said, I would that prayers and intercessions or supplication intercessions be made for all men. There's something about an intercessor. That's what Abraham was doing. He was interceding. Don't you ever quit praying for your family. Don't ever quit praying for your fellow employees. Don't ever quit praying for your friends. Hallelujah. Intercessory prayer is powerful. It still works. God said, I'll do it for you, Abraham. I'll do it for you, Abraham. If you can find just 10, God, would you spare it? He said, I'll do it. Woo, that's how powerful intercessory prayer is tonight. God remembers, amen, your work, hallelujah, your work of love and your ministry to the saints of God, amen, your works of righteousness that you have done. He's not unrighteous to forget. He hears every word you pray. It's put in his bottle. It's put in his memory. It's put in his vials, praise God. I think Revelation chapter 5, the Bible tells us that there was some incense mixed with the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. And they were poured out before God. And it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Luke 18 and 1, I would that men would pray always and not faint. That's still the key to working and living for God today. Hallelujah. Don't ever underestimate the power of praying for a soul. Oh, how beautiful it is today when we can get a burden to pray for a soul. Let me tell you about a lady that she, Rachel, the Bible tells us again, Genesis 31, she said, give me children or else I die. The Bible said in God, in verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. Leah had already had six sons and a daughter. This woman's heart was broken. Oh, yes. 14 years she was worked for, Jacob worked to get her to be his bride. And she wanted to produce a child. And her heart was so heavy. I can imagine the night she went through crying maybe and seeking God and asking God, have you forgotten me? God, do you know where I'm at? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know how I feel? But in God's time, and he said, God remembered Rachel. Praise God. I still believe the key to winning a soul today is when we get the same attitude Rachel had. Give me a soul, God, or else I die. Hallelujah. Spend some time in prayer and crying and weeping before the Lord. And when that burden gets a hold of you so great, praise God, you're going to get some results. Hallelujah. Because Zion's going to travail and she's going to bring forth. God, if you just give me a child, wow, you ever got that place in God yet where you give me a soul, God? The greatest joy you'll ever have in life is when somebody's sitting on these pews because you witnessed to them. You gave them the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, you can look around and you can see them sitting here and you know that you sowed seed and you prayed for them and you worked and labored in prayer. Hallelujah. Until they came through. God remembers your work and labor of love. He don't miss anything you do toward his name and have shown toward his name. He doesn't miss one thing. It's very important tonight. The devil likes us to look at only ourselves and to be selfish. And that's just our nature as a human being. We grow up that way. We have to learn to be unselfish. Hallelujah, to be a giver and not a taker always, but having something to give. And I'm telling you, we got what the world needs. Amen. We've got the greatest gift you could give anybody. God's good truth. Praise the Lord. Asking somebody, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And if they say yes, say, did you speak in tongues like they did in the Bible? Did you receive that same Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. I don't feel intimidated. People ask me, do you speak in tongues? I tell them, I sure do. Don't you? Don't you believe it? Have you received it? Glory. Thank God for reality. This is a gift. It's the most wonderful gift. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. The excellence of the powers of God and not of us. But friend, there's power when he comes and moves inside. In my name shall ye. Woo, pray for the sick. Cast out devils. Hallelujah. Drink any dead thing or take up serpents. Greater is he, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he. You've overcome the wicked one, little children. For greater is he that is within you than he that's in this world. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has not lost any power. That same power still within you tonight in the church. We have a right as his children not to use his name and to pray in that name and to have faith in that name and to believe in that name and to operate in that name. Heaven backs us up. They knew that Peter and John and those men were not learned men, but the Bible said they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That's all that really matters, praise God, is Jesus being in us and with us and for us. So Paul wrote to the church, amen, he said in Romans, you're more than conquerors through him, in chapter 8, through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors, hallelujah. Conquering's one thing to be a step above a conqueror. I'm telling you, there's victory. This is the victory. Praise God that overcomes the world. Our battle's not with human beings tonight, but spirits of this world. Pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible talks about praying and pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't limit your Holy Ghost power. Amen. So, well, it's not in me. Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Woo, you got to walk with God. That's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Here, let's look at it again in Scripture. God did care. He did know. He didn't miss one day of Rachel's desire to have a child. But look at another lady named Hannah and Elkanah, who had another wife, Peninnah. And so she had several children, and Hannah was barren also. In Israeli thought, Hebrew thought, for a woman not to have a child was like being cursed. Something was bad, wrong. But God has a time. Rachel brought forth Joseph, her first child. God shall add. And look what Joseph did for God. God had a time. God had a time. And in his time, praise God, he's always on time. You can trust God. You can trust God. You can believe him. Hallelujah. The Bible said they rose up early in the morning, 1 Samuel 1:19, and worshiped before the Lord. Whew, what a day to start your day. Worship. Worship. If you want Jesus to walk with you through the day, start out with him in the morning. It's hard to pick him up later in the afternoon when you've had a lot of stuff going on in your mind and in your life. But they rose up early and worshiped. Praise God. Prayer's not just asking God for things. Prayer can be praising God for things. That's what worship is. You praise him. Praise God. You praise him. Hallelujah. He loves praise. Praise the Lord. He loves praise. God enjoys praise. Thank you, Jesus. That's why Psalms, the 150th, just closes out. Those last several Psalms talk about praise, but it's like he put the icing on the cake. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I feel that way about him today. Start your day out with worship. Because this brought a great blessing to this family. The Bible said they returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. What a God. He's always remembering. He's always remembering your work and labor of love that you do show toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints. He's not unrighteous to forget. He doesn't forget anything you do. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing that God remembers. God remembers all of his covenants. And he brings things to remembrance. Let me give you an Exodus chapter 2. Repeatedly, you find this in the Bible. God remembered his covenant. God remembered his covenant. Came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And listen to the next verse, or part of this verse. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, praise the Lord. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. All the hundreds of years that they spent there in Egypt, all the time God was creating a large nation, a great people. They outgrew the Egyptians. God gave them favor, friend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of all the false things in the world, I'm telling you, God's true church tonight is bigger and greater. I believe he's got a church that no man can number tonight. I believe he's got a multitude that John saw that were saying praise and honor and glory unto him that's upon the throne, joined with the angelic host. Hallelujah. He saw a number that no man can number. God's got a great, great church tonight. We may be just a few people here in this little area, but friend, we're part of a great, great, large, great church that's within this world tonight. God is a delivering God. He's still delivering people from sin and bondage. Hallelujah. He remembers his covenant. Abraham, your seed's going to be like the sand of the sea. Hallelujah. You look at the book of Acts when revival broke out. 3,000 ran, and later 5,000. That's the promise of that God was given Abraham. Your seed, Abraham. There's going to be a great church. Woo! And that great church, we're part of it tonight. Oh, yes, we are. Hallelujah. He said, I heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. He hath remembered, Psalms 105 and 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. How do you put a limit to that? God's covenant keeping. Praise God. To 1,000 generations. Whew. I think it takes care of us date today. Amen. 2025. God's still remembering his covenant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's still remembering his covenant. Hallelujah. God does not forget anything he's doing. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Calvin, give me Isaiah 40 and 8. I missed that somehow here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm glad he does not forget his covenant tonight. He is a covenant-keeping God. You'll find this in the New Testament also. Hallelujah, especially the book of Hebrews. Amen. The first covenant, it just had to be fulfilled. Glory. Amen. The law was not, it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It couldn't perfect the heart and the conscience of man. But when he put the law of God in the hearts of men, woo, hallelujah, it made all the difference. Amen. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Praise God. It's a wonderful privilege that God chooses us just to be his saint, to be his child. Amen. The Bible talks about the household of God, the family of God. I'm glad to be a part tonight. Look, I believe it's Isaiah 1, brother, verse 8.
The grass withereth,
yeah, the grass
and the flower
withereth,
fadeth.
And the flower it fades.
But the word of our God shall stand forever.
Woo! I'm going to stand on that promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand on that promise. For the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Forever.
When the trump of God sounds. And when we which are alive and reign shall be caught up together to meet with them, and be with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm standing on that word tonight. I'm believing that word tonight, that Jesus is going to return. You see the signs of Matthew 24. Amen. Mark 13, Luke 21. You see the signs today that he gave, and you know it can't be too far away. Surely Jesus is going to return. But oh, what a day for the church. What a day for the people of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand on that word. It's forever settled. It'll never pass away. Jesus spoke in the New Testament, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Hallelujah. We stand or believe it tonight and let it be a foundation. God remembers. Let me go to Matthew chapter 6. Look at a wonderful promise that Jesus talks about here. Oh my. Hallelujah. And let's just pick it up here in this wonderful message. He's preaching chapter 6, verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They're not struggling at all. God's providing. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? I feel like Abraham when he's going up the Mount Moriah. Isaac said, here's the wood, here's the fire, but Dad, where's the sacrifice? God shall provide himself a sacrifice. And sure it was in John 1:29 when John the Baptist introduced Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. God is still providing. He's still providing. Listen, friend, worry is interest paid on trouble that usually never happens. It shouldn't be in our mind to worry and fret about things in life. Let's just read a little more here. Therefore, take no thoughts of what you shall eat, what you shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. After these things that the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. There's probably testimony sitting here on the pew tonight when you can say, let me tell you what the Lord did. When we were at our darkest moment, darkest hour, really in a great need. Hallelujah. We were just young and married over 50 years ago now, but we didn't probably manage maybe as good as we should have. I don't know. We tried. And so we went to church one night. We had just enough gas to get there. So I think it's foolish, but we're going to go to church anyway. And I said, well, God will just provide for us to go home. And that night at that service, a man came to me and said, Brother Matlin, he said, the Lord moved on me to give you $20. He didn't tell me how much. He said, just put it in my hand. And pride for me. I saw, brother, I really needed it. But my faith went. We had gas to go home. An extra. Praise God. Hallelujah. A little over dollar a gallon back then. It made a big difference. But amen. Hallelujah. Might be less than a dollar. It's way back. It just says it's way back. I've got 3 score and 10 on me now. So praise the Lord. I can just say way back. Hallelujah. But the point I want to make is God is he has provided. We were both working. My wife got laid off, and the bills were in and due, but the money wasn't there. And she had filed for unemployment, and we just kind of thought, well, God, you're going to help us make it. And she got 3 unemployment checks on a Saturday morning at one time. We paid all of our bills and went out and bought a burger with the rest. Celebrated. God is not unrighteous. He does not forget anything. How you minister, how you show, praise God unto his name, praise and honor and glory. He doesn't miss one thing. I just want to build your faith tonight. Our God remembers. Our God does not forget. Hallelujah. He's knowing everything going on in your life tonight. He's seeing every emotional feeling you're dealing with, financial things in your life. He's seeing everything going on that might cause you to have a little bit of, anxious about yourself. But friend, God knows. God and God cares. And God understands. I'm telling you, he is an on-time God. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have shown toward his name and do show in that you minister to the saints. Woo! He doesn't miss one thing. He goes on to say here, there's not a sparrow that falls that your father doesn't see. How much greater are you than many sparrows? The hairs on your head are numbered. That's how detailed he is. When Philip introduced Nathanael to Jesus, they had talked under a fig tree somewhere. And so he's coming up to the Lord. And Philip said, hey, this is the Messiah. This is really him. This is who we've been waiting for. Of course, Nathanael's probably interested, excited. But Jesus looked at him and said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ooh, Nathanael was astounded. He said, me? Yeah. He said, when I saw you talking to Philip under that fig tree. Yeah. Oh, he said, you are the Messiah. Yeah. Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than these. Oh, friend, you ain't seen nothing yet. Church, listen, we need to live with expectancy from God. We ain't seen nothing yet to what God can do. He can multiply. He can add to. He can take the little bit you have and multiply it. Hallelujah. And make it last a long time. Our God can and our God will. Hallelujah. He doesn't miss anything tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how good God is. It's like giving Ruth those handfuls on purpose. That's the way I believe living for God is. Praise the Lord. I've never been really laid off in my life, I guess. I just went from one job to another. When that payday ended, Monday morning I had a brand new one. I give God the glory. Hallelujah. He just always made a way. He's still the truth. He's still the life to live. And he's still the way to live. And he's the way maker tonight. Don't shortchange your God tonight. Anybody believe Ephesians 3:20? Unto him who is able to do what? Exceeding, abundant, and above all ye shall ask or think, according to the power that's working in us tonight. There's nothing greater than faith. That's why I like Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. The same people just like you and I lived everyday life like you and I. It might have been a little different conditions back in those days, but they were just as human as we are. And they felt and faced things just like we face. But by faith, they obtained a good report. By faith, they overcame. By faith, they finished. By faith, hallelujah. Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, Timothy. There's a crown of righteousness later for me, not for me only, but of those that look for his appearing. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Let me just move real quickly tonight. I'm going to cut this a little shorter. Hallelujah. Psalms 139 and 2. The word of God shall stand forever. He says, thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising, and understandest my thoughts afar off. This is so important. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Probably very familiar scriptures with most of us tonight. Thank you, Lord. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Amen. He's involved in every conversation. And really, prayer is just talking to God.
Sure.
Nothing complicated about prayer. Right. He's just talking to God. That's all prayer is. Sharing your heart. Praise God. Talking to Him as a father. Talking to Him as the one that gives you daily bread. Talking to Him, praise God, that helps you go through life every day. Oh, yes. Prayer is so good. And the Bible says this book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. They thought and that thought upon His name. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the books were opened. So God keeps books very detailed. The little woman that cast in the two mites, she gave more than all the rest. It's recorded in His book. Amen. Matthew 26, Mary came and oil was spiked and broke the alabaster box and anointed Him. And they were speaking against her, the disciples, especially Judas, because he was a thief and kept the purse. This could have been sold and given and took care of needs for the poor. What a waste. And Jesus said, hold it. Wherever this gospel is preached, the good news is told.
Yes.
It's going to be told about this memorial that she's doing. She's anointing me for my burial. Every sacrifice of the Bible, they anointed those sacrifices before they were offered. Jesus was going to be our sacrifice. And so He was anointed. He took note of it. He went to Simon's house and Simon didn't offer Him any real welcome, as it were. But a woman comes in and at His feet she's crying and weeping and wiping His feet with her hair. And oh, Simon's so offended. If you only knew who she was and where she come from. Lord, You wouldn't allow this. So He tells the story of the two debtors, one owed a great debt and one a little debt. And so both were forgiven. You know, who's going to love the most? Well, Simon said the one that was forgiven the most. Her sins, which are many. Hallelujah. It's been forgiven. Praise God. That token was never, amen, it never went unrecorded in God's word. It's in the book of remembrance. Praise the Lord. And He said, they shall be mine when the Lord of hosts shall make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That's what's going to be recorded in the books. Everybody's name that was not found written or recorded in the book of life was cast into that bottomless pit. Jesus said, rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. That's a good reason to shout and praise Him every time we think about it. Thank You that He wrote my name way up in glory land. Hallelujah. He wrote my name. Praise God. He wrote my name. I never shall forget the day when Jesus washed all my sins away. Hallelujah. He wrote my name way up. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's on God's book tonight. And the devil can't erase it. And he can't take it off the book. He's detailed. He's detailed about everything we do. A book of remembrance. Let me go really ahead of myself for a little bit. But God remembers everything. But there's something else about God that I also like. The Bible said He also forgets. Let me give you some scripture. Hallelujah. He forgets sin when they're forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote it this way, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. Hallelujah. Mercy applied to sin and blood, woo, it blots it out. Right, a Hebrew said the sins, amen, the ordinances that were written against us, the books, the ordinances that were written against us, the handwritings that were written against us. He said He hath blotted them out. Yeah. Praise God, He's blotted them out. He's given us a brand new start.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, or new creation. Praise God. The former things. Someone said about my past. What past? What past? You don't have a past. The devil likes to try to pull that on your mind and remind you and discourage you. But I am He that blotteth out sins, and I will remember your iniquities no more. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling. Hey, you got to understand, hallelujah, you become a new creation. The former things of the old man are passed away. And behold, all things become new. You've got a brand new beginning, a brand new start. Oh, but my sins. Isaiah 118 says, though your sins be as scarlet or red like crimson, he said, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make it white as snow. I'll make it white as wool. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. I'm glad, friend, there's some things God forgets. And he forgets your past. He forgets sin. Hallelujah. He blots it out. Oh, what a Savior. What a God tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God will no longer remember them. Let me give you some more scripture here. And this is repeated in the scripture. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. 10 and 17, he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Psalms 98, the Bible tells us again, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the covenant that he made with Israel, he's kept it, even to this day. Abraham's seed, Isaac, Jacob, he keeps that same covenant today. I don't worry about Israel being destroyed. There's going to be a lot of battles there, and a lot of people may die, but there's going to be a remnant out of that wonderful place. Praise God. Israel, as a man that has power with God, a prince of God. He made a covenant with Jacob. He's keeping that covenant today. They can do all they want to do. If you curse Abraham's seed, you're going to be cursed. I've read the book actually twice, but Old Jerusalem gives detailed accounts of the war and how God intervened in 1947 and 48 and how God just really done miraculous things for the Israelis. And it was amazing that the story talks about how that they called a little Arab boy, and these small platoon of Israeli soldiers, the Arabs are taught that the Jews will eat children and they'll devour children. They're just terrible people. He was scared to death. So they said, "Let's tell you what we're going to do. You go back there and tell your people up in that mountain hole that we're coming in there after them. We're going to take them, and they better surrender or else." Small platoon of men, just maybe 20 or 30. There were several hundred of those Arabs up there. The little boy goes back. He's scared to death. He tells them the story. And as they're walking up this valley, they start singing. And as they sing, the story said it started reverberating, like echoing through that mountain. And when they got there, every Arab had laid his gun down. Everyone came up with their hands up. And they were shocked when just a few little Israeli soldiers. That was who was coming to get them. Praise God. God takes the foolish things, confounds the wise still. Oh, friend, he can multiply. Praise God. The Bible said you draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to you. You can resist the devil. What does he do? He flees. He runs. Amen. He's cowardly. The devil is just an intimidator. That's all he can do is intimidate. Roar like a lion, but he's toothless. Ye have overcome the wicked one, little children. I'm here to tell you the church has what it takes. Praise God to be successful in living for God. When we go forth as light in a dark world, praise God, like a city on a hill. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And salt of the earth, we're influence. It shines. It advertises for itself. They take knowledge. You've been with Jesus. You're not the ordinary. You're not the normal. I've had people say, what's different about you folks? Yeah, we just love Jesus. Praise God. It's a good life living for Jesus. That is what's different. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our High Priest. He's our Attorney. He fights our battles. It's His battle. Praise God. We do like Jehoshaphat in 1 Chronicles 20, just send some singers and praisers out. Hallelujah. And God sent confusion. Man, the devil can't handle it when you're at your wits' end. You're looking up, God, I don't know what to do. Just have a little church. Send me some singers and praisers out. And the Bible said God sent confusion among the enemy. You'll really confuse the devil from you like Job. You bless him anyhow. You praise him anyhow. You lift up anyhow his name in praise. Hallelujah. You magnify him in his sanctuary. You praise him in his sanctuary. You praise him according to his mighty acts. Oh,
Yes, you praise him according to his excellent greatness tonight. It's not because of what he's done or what he hasn't done. Amen. Or what we've done or what we haven't done. I'm here to tell you, praise works. God inhabits praise. He loves praise. He seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for a praiser. You'll give the devil a nervous breakdown every time. It'll confuse the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to remember of a little girl and an atheist giving a speech to a large crowd. And one little girl stood up in that crowd and started singing an old chorus. I shall know him. I shall know him. She just started singing it. And the atheist was taken aback. And he wanted to say something. She just kept singing directly. Another stood up and another stood up and another stood up. And after a while, a whole group of folks stood up singing with her. Hallelujah. I shall know him by the nails, the prints in his hands. Hallelujah. I'm going to know him. I'm going to know him. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know him in the power of the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. We can stand up and be counted as a redeemed of the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have been, well, the Bible said such for some of you, but now you're washed. Now you're justified. Now you're sanctified. By the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, by the blood today. Oh, we got a testimony. Hallelujah. We need to give it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And the writer said again here, Romans 4:7-8, blessed are they whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God doesn't hold you accountable because he sees the blood. Like old Bishop Haywood wrote the old song, I see a crimson stream. It still flows from Calvary. Praise, its waves, they're just reaching over me. Praise God. When sin whispers, tells you there's no use to pray, I just look away to Jesus. And he tells me to say, I still see. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's a new beginning always with God. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You just repent. Start over again. Praise God. Claim the blood. Hold on to the promise that he gives us about the blood. Thank you, Jesus. The psalmist said he would carry our sins as far as the east is from the west. Micah said he would bear our sins in the depths of the sea. They tell me it's so dark when you get so deep in the water. It's dark. You can't see a thing down there because it's dark. Everything is covered with darkness. That's why Micah said that's what he does with our sin. He just puts it so deep, so far. As the east is from the west, which is a continual circle around the earth, it's unending. Amen. It's unending. No matter which way you go on the equator, east or west, praise God. It's just an unending circle. I'm going to do your sins that way. They're not going to be brought back up against you anymore. I'm going to bury them in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God's willing to do it for us tonight? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just read in closing here this verse of Scripture. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. This suffering servant that Isaiah saw and hundreds of years before Jesus was even walking the earth. But God gave him insight. In chapter 9 and in chapter 53, he really describes our Savior that was crucified. And you know, Jesus looked at the crowd and only the heart of God could say it. Father, as a man, he's talking, and as a son of God in his flesh, he's talking. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only God can look at humanity. Say, though your sins are like scarlet or red like crimson, I'll wash you. I'll make you white as wool. Come on, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Here he says in verse 6, chapter 53. Let me get turned here to it. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, Answerest thou nothing against these thine accusers? Jesus didn't answer a word. He opened not his mouth. He marveled, the Bible said. Pilate marveled. Well, he said, they're saying all kinds of things about you, Jesus. Finally, he comes to the conclusion, I find no fault in this man. He realized for envy the Jews had delivered him. They're crying out in the crowd, crucify him. He washes his hands, does his best to try to get rid of that guilt that he was feeling, condemnation he was feeling. Oh, but friend, Jesus went through it all. He planned it. And they thought, the devil thought he had things in control. Not so. There's never been a time when the Lord's not in control of everything going on this earth. And even that day he said, destroy this body. 3 days I'll raise it up again. I lay down my life. You don't take it from me. I lay it down. Hallelujah. That's our God we serve. Praise the Lord. Want to stand with me tonight. As much as God remembers, I wonder for somebody here tonight that would like to have God to forget some things in your life that you'd like for him to blot out, cover. You'd like for him to put it in the depth of the sea. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin blinds us. Sin blinds us, and it never can satisfy anybody. Sin calls for another sin, that sin calls for another sin. It's totally incapable of satisfying anybody. But Jesus said, the water that I give, the life that I offer, it'll be like a well of living water in you. It'll be springing up an everlasting life. You'll never thirst again. That's the cleaning of the Lord, washing of water of the Word, the Bible calls it. The blood that literally blots out and covers all our iniquities, all of our sins. Anybody feel a need tonight to have God put something under that blood? We'd like for him to forget about something, a failure in your life. We'd like to say, God, would you just, well, Hebrews 4:16 says it, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. For what purpose? That we may obtain mercy. The devil says you don't deserve it, but mercy says you deserve to come into the holy courts of God. Praise God. We obtain mercy, and what we find grace to help in time of need. Whatever need you've got tonight, Jesus wants to fulfill that and meet that need. Supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Praise God. We'd like to lift your hands and thank him tonight.
Oh, come on, let's just thank the Lord today. And why don't we draw up near around the altars?